Good morning. About 53 years ago, when I was 5 years old, it was Christmas. And I was looking at that tree in St. Louis, Missouri, the house we were living in on a little road called Sulphur Springs Road, big plot of land across the street from us that they hadn't developed yet. And I remember I really wanted to get under that tree in the worst way. And my grandparents, my dad's mom and dad, Smith family, came to spend Christmas Day with us. And I remember sometime when they got there, I knew what I had asked for. And I knew that my grandparent Smith would get me what I asked for. I wanted a G.I. Joe worse than I can tell you. You know, the old ones where the joints were all, you know what I'm talking about, and you can, and you could dress them in stuff, and you know, you could put them in their action figure. You know, it's kind of like the early guy's action figure. Well, it was earlier on Thanksgiving, and I was told, next to threatened, do not open anything. But it did not matter what I was told, because I knew what that was. I shook it, and I could tell. So at 5 years old, I got under the tree, and I pulled the paper off that gift. And what happens next, I cannot remember, but I have heard the story. My dad was a stickler for doing things the way that we were going to do them. So, essentially, I did what I shouldn't have done, and I knew that it was a G.I. Joe, and I opened it. And then my dad had a meltdown and got... Evidently, the story is he got all over me. I'm glad I can't remember that. And then after my dad got all over me and was very upset, then sometime later, it's also told that part of the story that my dad sat me down in a room and apologized to me for getting all over me. My dad passed away in July. This is the first Christmas I haven't had my dad around. I just tell you that story because I want to talk about how badly, when we're kids, we just want Christmas to get here. We don't care how. We don't care what we have to do. We just want it here. Do we want Jesus that badly? Today I'm going to talk with you about a second barrier this morning to embracing the one who's at the core of this message that we celebrate. Jesus. What keeps us from embracing Jesus? We're going to unwrap the present and we're going to see. But we've got to get past this thing called fear in order to do it. So I want to talk with you a little bit about that today. The story I want to look at, to use as kind of a jumping off point, is the story about the shepherds. It's from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. You can see the NIV version up here. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, in excelsis Deo, and on the earth peace to those on whom His favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." So I think about that story. Those shepherds were so afraid that they hurt. Now, in the King James, It doesn't say they were terrified. You remember what it says they felt? They were sore afraid. They were so afraid. They hurt. That's fear. I want to talk about fear. Talk about some of the kinds of fear that keeps us from embracing the Jesus that this story is all about. You know, these shepherds were in the presence of something godly, something holy, something powerful. And anytime we're in the presence of someone, something like that, we very quickly see that that's not who we are. There's a distinction, a separation, and we know it in the very core of who we are. The deepest fear that we have, the fear that lies beneath all other fears, is the fear of not measuring up. The fear of getting judged for that, the fact that we know it. It's this fear that I think creates in us stress and depression in our everyday lives because we're worried that someone's going to really find out that we're not who we want to be. And it comes down to the fact that deep down, we just don't measure up, and we don't. And that we do deserve judgment, and we do. We're aware that we fail, and that our best is really never good enough. Talk to the Georgia Bulldogs this morning. That we've been weighed, and when we're weighed, the balance came up lacking, deficient. And whenever I say that, you know what image came to my mind? You guys don't think about Bible stories like I do. But you know, there's an Old Testament Bible story about handwriting on the wall. And Daniel interpreted the handwriting on the wall for the king that he was serving at the time. And the phrase was, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And what that means in our language is, weighed, weighed, and found deficient. And so, when we're in the presence of holiness, godliness, we know that's where we are. We are weighed and we're found deficient. So we fear what that means for us. The good news, the gospel that we talk about, announces that Jesus came to acquit the guilty. In fact, it says that He came to take the sentence for the guilty. So He died on the cross. He came to bear the judgment that we deserved once and for all so that we could be free of judgment from God and from others. It didn't matter. So the passages that I want to stick in our minds as we think about the fear of judgment is 1 John 3:17. Mentioned it last week. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. We do not have to fear judgment. Secondly, Romans 8, 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's the law that convicts us that we deserve. It's good news, isn't it? It's great news. A second fear that I want to talk about this morning, another one that can keep us from embracing Jesus, is the fear of expectations. You know, as I was looking around, I don't know if this is necessarily official, but there's this thing called the law of expectations. You ever heard anybody talk about the law of expectations? I hadn't till I did this reading. The law of expectations says this: whatever you expect with confidence actually becomes your own self-fulfilling prophecy. So what am I talking about? Okay, let's say this morning you woke up and when you went in the shower, your elbow hit the soap bottle and it's full. And when the soap bottle hits the floor, it squashes your toe. And then you go to the kitchen and when you're getting out a glass to put some milk in, the glass falls and it breaks. And splinters go everywhere, and you find a splinter of glass 10 years later when you're walking barefoot in your kitchen. Okay. When the glass hit, when the soap hit your toe, what is it that you start to tell yourself when those things happen in the morning? It's going to be one of those days. The law of expectation says it will become one of those days. And a lot of it has to do with our attitude about the day, because we said it's going to be one of those days. Because the truth is, if those same things happened and we didn't say it's going to be one of those days, we may meet the day entirely different. We may see it entirely different. But the law of expectation brings us to the point where we see that our expectations really do determine our choices, our behaviors, and how we act in situations, just as we anticipated they would become. Let me tell you another story. Fast forward to 20 years ago. I guess Abby was about 3. I had a kidney stone. And in the course of the kidney stone story, they had to do the surgical thing and take it out. And then after they got it out, they didn't know why I was having such trouble, but that was another part of the story. One of the things they did whenever they took the kidney stone out was they did a spinal block thing, okay? And they used Demerol. Guess what? I found out that my genetics don't do well with Demerol. It was probably about a week and a half before I went to sleep again, because I could not go to sleep. It was like played all night long. Psychedelic movies. No, it was not. You know that. And what has happened, or what happened in my life at that time, I developed an anxiety about going to sleep because I could not, the switch would not go off. So for several years, I took a medication consistently for about a year and a half, 2 years to try to even out that anxiety in my life. Hey, I was fine through the day, but when it got to putting my head on the pillow, my heart started racing. I was afraid that I wasn't going to go to sleep. So I didn't. It was a fear. Was it rational? No. Was it real? Yes. Was it law of expectation? Absolutely. I expected to have trouble going to sleep. And every once in a while, I have to go through a little short period of that again. I've now found ways to cope. Got other things I can do. It gets me through. About 3 or 4 days, I'm back on. Anxiety. Expectation. It's about something that keeps us from understanding that we don't have to fear what we think is going to happen. Those shepherds did not know. Just think about it for a minute. What were their expectations as they traveled? They were leaving their sheep. Normally, they're worried about things like wolves and weather and how much money they're going to get whenever they shear their sheep. Those would be normal fears for them. And probably after this, they had those fears again. But they did not know what to expect. They were going to see the king. Angels had showed them what was going on. They did not know. They said there's going to be a baby in a manger in a stable. But what are you going to get when you get there? They didn't know. Which brings me to the next fear. Oh yeah, back up. So what we hear from Peter in Peter's epistle is cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And isn't that what you and I need to know? We need to know that he cares, and that we have a place where we can take all those fears. Does that mean that He will expunge them, erase them? Presto! All I have to do is pray a prayer and poof, it goes away. No. Sometimes the process, which is painful and scary, and trusting God through it, we find that He is faithful. And if it was just poof and it was gone, we would never get the same understanding of Him being with us as we went through it. Now, I can talk about the fear of the unknown. Those shepherds didn't have any idea what would happen next. They were told to go to Bethlehem. They were told to find that baby. They didn't know if on their way somebody would attack them. They didn't know if somebody would do something with their sheep while they were gone. What could happen to them? They didn't even know if they would have some kind of opposition when they got there. I mean, the Romans were in charge. I don't know if you're like me, but I hate not knowing what's going to happen next. I really don't like it. I like having a plan. I can deal with risk, but I don't like having to deal with risk without a plan. I want a plan. So if you see me stressed, you see me anxious, just change my plans. Now, Dusty's going to do this, okay? He's going to do this sometime in the next 2 weeks. He's going to test me just for fun. In fact, anytime we go see Regina's sisters, usually we'll do it after Christmas. I don't know if we'll do it this year or not, but usually when we go to, I have to kind of get myself ready. I have to make one or two choices. One choice, I have to say, okay, I'm just along for the ride. And I have to get my head ready, I'm just along for the ride. Or the second thing is, if I don't make the choice, I'm just along for the ride, I have to think, okay, ahead of time, I know, everything is going to change on a dime. Oh, we're going to go do this today. All right. Oh, I don't think we're going to do this today. Oh, I think we'll do it. So it's just the way it goes, okay? I have to deal with that idea of the unknown. You know, there's a poster child in the Bible for dealing with the unknown. His name was Abraham. And if you look in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham's the guy that God said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to leave everything that you know and go to this place you've never been. And the funny thing is, Abraham got up and he said, yep, think I'll do that. And he went. And it was a journey. It was quite a tough journey. Funny thing happened though. Same chapter. Talking about the same guy who had the same courage, the same gumption, who didn't have any worry about getting up and leaving Ur and going to wherever that was that God was telling him to go. When he came to Egypt, he didn't think it was too smart to walk in there saying, yep, here's Sarah, my wife. Instead, he said, oh, I think they might not kill me if I tell them you're my sister. So guess what happened? He didn't trust God. He made a mistake. He let the Egyptians believe this was his sister. And so they took his sister and said, yep, we'll move her up to the top of the harem and we'll give you all this really good stuff. And eventually God kind of squared all that with the Egyptians because God made some things happen so that the Egyptians got the idea something was wrong and they finally figured out, kind of like Jonah and all the guys on the boat with Jonah whenever Jonah didn't go to Nineveh. Something's wrong and we need to figure this one out. And they did. Finally got to the bottom of it and they found out that Abraham had lied and that Sarah was his wife and not his sister. And they said, please leave because your God is messing with our lives. And we're tired of it. Just take everything we gave you and go. Fear. Abraham was the poster child for dealing with it right. Then he was the poster child for the fear for fear of the unknown and doing it wrong. Both. The shepherds were the same. And if we're honest, aren't you and I the same way about unknown? Okay, we start telling ourselves all these thoughts about what could happen and how it would be so bad and how we wouldn't like it and all that. And it keeps us many times, if we come to this story, we too ask, well, what does this mean and do I really want to go there? Fear of the unknown. The last fear, the last fear that I want to talk to you about is a pretty powerful fear. It's a fear of ridicule. Once those shepherds saw that child, they had a choice. They were exhilarated. It was exactly like we were told. But then they had to decide where they were going to get back to those hills and those sheep kind of the quiet way. Or are we going to do what we really want to do, which is tell everybody what we saw? Because we know it's going to flip them out. We saw angels. They told us to go here. They said we'd find a baby. We went there. We found a baby. It was an amazing thing. And on the way back, they started telling everybody. Did you know that there's and maybe Regina can get on me for this, but there supposedly is a term in mental health for the fear of ridicule. Hang in there with me. It is catagelophobia, the fear of being ridiculed. We live in days, quite frankly, if you think about it, that are more like the first century than either the 19th or the 20th ever were. Okay? We call it the postmodern era. Okay? Everything that was accepted in tradition was being questioned, and nothing is considered the same anymore. Just go talk to the millennials for a little while and you'll see, if you're my age. We live in a time when the pox, and that's one of those great terms from probably about the 16th century, the pox of culture is Christians and Jews. We are the source of all the problems in the culture because we have these Victorian morality problems. Peter wrote about such times that we're living in. Listen to what Peter said. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. The fear of ridicule is something that we are going to have to deal with and confront, which is going to be one of the things I'm going to talk about in just a minute. But Jesus said there in Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We live in a day and a time when right is called wrong and wrong is called right, and we're just going to have to keep swimming against the grain. Okay? It's coming at us, and we're just going to have to keep swimming, whether we like it or not. If we're going to follow Jesus, we've got to keep moving our arms and kicking our feet. We've got to stick to it and not worry about the waves of ridicule that come against us. So, real quick, what do we do? How do we deal with fears? Well, one way we do is we repress them. Okay? We do anything we can to not deal with it, and we just stuff it. Now, what happens when you stuff stuff? Whenever I was a kid, and we would put water in balloons, okay? What happens when we get too much water in a balloon? Okay? Well, same thing happens when we start to repress all these things we're afraid of. Because we just add one on another, on another, on another, and the pressure gets too much. Boom. Secondly, we self-medicate them. We do anything we can to ignore or dull the fear. That may be chemicals, okay? It may be marijuana, it might be alcohol, it might be some other drug, it may be even an antidepressant, abused or used in some way it shouldn't be. It may be pornography. It may be whatever it is we think takes the stuff away for a minute. We self-medicate because we're afraid. For a minute, we don't have to think about it anymore. But then there's some good ways to deal with fear. One, we can confront the fears. We can deal with what the roots of this fear really is. What are we afraid of? What is it about the unknown? What is it about expectations? What is it about judgment that we really need to understand, and we can confront that and let God show us the truth in the light of what He says in the Bible? And what He's shown us is true in the person of Jesus and why He came. We can confront the fears that we have, and we have to if we're really going to ever find that God's healing hand is on us by the power of His Spirit, and we cooperate with whatever process is necessary for us to be able to get through that fear. And then lastly, you know, you'd think that we would do this sooner, but it's the whole truth that we just need to be still and know that He's God. One of the reasons why we are so anxious is because we are not still before God. We are not quiet before Him. We don't give Him time to just kind of soothe our soul because we've got to get up and go to the next thing. We deal with fear. All these fears that we've talked about. John, that last screen. The fear of judgment, fear of expectations, the fear of the unknown, fear of ridicule, all these things. And we come back to the story. You know, most of the time, shepherds, like I said earlier, they feared wolves. They were worried about the weather. They were worried about economic. They were even worried about prejudice because everybody looked down on the shepherd. Shepherd was kind of like, you know, on their economic scale, shepherds were about right here. Slaves were about right here. Okay? Down at the bottom. And I would assume that these shepherds probably feared, again, like I said earlier, all these things again after this night. But for this night, they were more worried about missing out on Jesus than they were anything else. They did not let any other fear become more important than that one concern, that one fear, seeing what God was doing. What mattered on that night was getting to a stable, looking in that pile of hay, smelling all those animals in that stable. They had been sore afraid, but they got over it to let another thing be more important to them, seeing Jesus. And that's where I want to end today. Whatever the things are that cause us to be anxious or fearful, we can't let that keep us from Jesus. Because if we'll allow Him by His Spirit to work in us, He will show us that He is faithful and He is with us and will work with us and help us through those things. And He will be exactly who and what we need. He's all sufficient. Everything we need. So this morning, as I come before you, again, I want you to listen, not to me for a minute, but to whatever that Spirit of God is in your heart, in your head. What's He telling you about the things that cause you fear? What's He telling you about the ways you've dealt with your fears? Have you been dealing with fears the wrong way, or you've been dealing with fears the right way? Because it matters. You've got a card, hopefully when you came in, and if you want us to be praying with you about things that you're trying to deal with that have to do with fear, that would be a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us to be able to partner with you about the things that you're asking God to work through in your life. We want to see Him do it. But the important thing is that you're talking with God about it and you're seeking about it. Jesus can make a difference. He has promised us that He would be with us, that He would never forsake us. He said we could cast all our cares on Him. Why aren't we doing it? What keeps you from doing it? Let's pray. Father, in this season, I pray for me that, Lord, You would help me to look beyond any fears that I have that would keep me from embracing You. And Lord, I pray the same thing for my brothers and sisters. That, Lord, the stuff that gets in the way, whether it's the fear that we're talking about today, or, Lord, the other things that we're going to talk about during the next few weeks, that, Lord, You would help us to trust You. That You would help us to depend on one another. Lord, help us to offer You who we are, not necessarily who we want to be, because You will make us who You want us to be if we will offer You who we are. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Regina, I'll be here. If you have something you want to pray with us about, whether it's something that is a fear in your life or anything else, you know we're here for you. I know that I can say for, at least for Regina and I'll say for Dusty and Audrey and Dane and Kathy, thank you for honoring us and for just loving us and letting us be your pastors and letting us be parts of your families. And you don't know how much that blesses us. There's no other place we'd rather be. That's why we're here. So thank you. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your blessing We thank you for this season. And Lord, be with us in this season. Lord, help the accidental opportunities we have, Lord, to be filled with purpose. Because we know there are no accidents. Whenever we see people we know, whenever we get a chance to listen, we get a chance to encourage, to help, to just be excited seeing someone we haven't seen. Lord, it is an opportunity for you to live through us. Lord, help us to squeeze everyone that you would be glorified. Live in us, Lord Jesus. Amen.